Judgment comes upon the people so that they will know that God is Lord. Do you think that sometimes judgment comes upon our land so that people might know that God is Lord? Do you think that judgment sometimes comes upon you and I so that we might know that God is Lord?
Thank you for listening to the Calhoun Baptist Church podcast with Pastor Mark Abney. Brother Mark delivered his sermon this morning titled Dry Bones, and he preached from Ezekiel chapter 37. And now, Brother Mark.
Well, we're going to be looking at a major prophet. And God led me to this scripture. And Lori said, watch your time. And I said, well, you know, God led me to the scripture, and I got to preach what God said. And so if we run out of time, we run out of time. I guess I don't apologize for that. I'll try to keep it within the time frame, but you never know. Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel was a rebellious Israelite, and all the Israelites were rebellious. All the Israelites were in captivity in Babylon. They were in captivity because they turned their back on God. They'd taken God out of the high places. They had taken God out of their school system. They had taken God out of their government. They had removed God from every walk of life. And God said, okay, just go your own way and see what happens. And guess what happened? They were captive by the Babylonians. And they took them as slaves in captivity. So now they're in captivity and they're crying out to God. Where's God? What's happened? Why ain't God helping us? We're God's people. What's wrong? Well, it sounds a lot like today. Amen? Sounds a lot like today. And as I was looking into this, it's like, God, this is right where we're at. This is right where we're at. So let's look in verse 1 of 37. It says, the hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. And he led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. We know some people that are pretty dry, amen? There's some dry ones out there. He asked me, he said, son of man, can these bones live? I like his answer. He says, sovereign Lord, only you know this. Really? Only God could make these bones come back to life, right? And you and I, we'd say the same thing if God said, do you think these bones can live? And says, only you know that, Lord. Yeah, nothing I could do. So God says, prophesy to these bones and say to them, bones, says, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you. I will come, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. And I will put breath in you and you will come to life. And then you will know that I am the Lord. Well, yeah. I mean, if you was a dry bone in a valley and God resurrected you and you stood there with life, you would know that God was God. Amen. There'd be no question in your mind. So I prophesied. He was obedient. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise. There was a rattling. Some of us rattle, and we're not even dead yet. There was a rattling sound as the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath from the four winds, and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life, and they stood to their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. We all know that the people of Israel was God's people, right? And God's people are the same people today who have confessed Jesus Christ as Lord, right? You are God's people if you've made Jesus Lord of your life. And he said, these bones are the people of Israel. I found it very easy in the Bible. Every place Israel is mentioned, if you just insert your name, it works really well. This person is Mark Abney. This person is whoever you are in God's name, if you're one of God's people. They said, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone and we are cut off. Have you ever heard of one of God's people say that? My bones are dry. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this situation. I have no hope. I'm destitute. I can't figure it out. I don't know what to do. Isn't that us? A lot of times we get ourselves in some situation, in some circumstance, in some place where we can't do anything about it, and then we cry out to God, say, God, I don't know what to do. God says, really? Really? I mean, all through the Word, God says, if you cry out to me, I will answer you. If you come to me in prayer and you repent and seek my face, I will heal you in your land, right? So if we want God to work on our behalf, what we have to do is call out to God. We have to cry out to Him. He said, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone and we are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, my people, I'm going to open your graves and I'm going to bring you up out of them. I'm going to resurrect you and I will bring you back to the land of Israel, the promised land. And then my people, you will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and I bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live. When God puts His spirit in us, we come to life. Amen? And not only do we come to life here in this world, but we come to life eternally. We have life that never leaves us again. And it's eternal life, and it was bought and paid for with the blood and body of Jesus Christ that we did this morning as we remembered what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. I will put my spirit in you, and I will live in you, and I will settle you in your own land. And you will know that I am Lord, that I have spoken, that I have done this, declares the Lord. Those of us who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, each one of us have a testimony, amen? And that testimony is about the day when we said Jesus is Lord. And we all have that testimony in common, right? Every one of us you may have done it at the church altar. You may have done it in the back seat of your car. You may have done it in your home. You may have done it at school. You may have done it in the workplace. You may have done it outside somewhere. But wherever you did it the same way that everybody else did it. You humbled yourselves and you asked God to forgive you of your sins. And you said, I believe Jesus is your only Son, that He died on the cross for my sins, and that you resurrected Him and He's alive. And I want Him to come in and live inside of me and be Lord of my life. And when you said them words, God put His Spirit in you. And that Spirit will never leave you and will never forsake you. No one can pluck that Spirit out of you. You are safe and sound in God's hand. You are a child of God forever. Amen? And once you're a child of God forever, you can't be an unchild. There is no undoing it, okay? So if you truly did that, and you truly made Jesus Lord of your life, you may have pushed Him off the throne a little bit now and then, but He's still there. He didn't leave you. He's not forsaking you. He said He won't do that. Okay? So you can know that He's in there. So Ezekiel was a prophet like almost 600 BC before Jesus, and he was exiled in Babylon, and he was a rebellious, wicked Israelite. And if you don't believe that, you can go look in the first part of Ezekiel when God called him. He did not want to go. And God says, well, I'm raising you up as a prophet, and you're going to go say to these hard-headed people that these words that I'm going to tell you to say. And he did not want to do that. And most of us don't. Amen? Most of us run from God when God says, you have to go talk to them hard-headed Baptists. You say, no, not me. You get someone else. And he goes, and it's pretty cool in there because God says, I'm going to make your head like flint. So you got a harder head than they do. So God has a way of giving us a spirit within us so that we can talk to anybody. Amen. No matter how hard-headed they are, God has a way of softening people's hearts. And so he did the same for Ezekiel. Ezekiel's ministry was like 30 to 40 years, even though he went kicking and screaming. He lasted quite a while. And the entire ministry of Ezekiel was in Babylon. There's three parts to the book of Ezekiel. The first part, 1 through 24, there's a judgment upon the southern kingdom of Judah. In the second part, there's a judgment on all the nations, all nations. God's judgment comes down on all nations. In the third part, the part that we're in, is the salvation of Israel. Okay? And there's some main themes in Ezekiel that I want to touch on. The first theme that I want to talk about is God's glory. God's glory. And in this passage that we just read, we see God's glory exemplified because God says he's going to do all these things. Why? So that everybody will know that he is God. You see, God brings glory to himself. God says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all people unto me so that all people might know that I am God. God always brings glory to himself. God never brings glory to you. God never brings glory to me, but God may use you or me to bring glory to him. Amen? God always brings glory to himself. 70 times in Ezekiel, it is said that he is doing what he is doing so that everybody might know that he is God and that he might bring glory to his name. Judgment comes upon the people so that they will know that God is Lord. Do you think that sometimes judgment comes upon our land so that people might know that God is Lord? Do you think that judgment sometimes comes upon you and I so that we might know that God is Lord? You see, God disciplines his children, right? And if God disciplines you, he's telling you that he loves you. He loves you. If he didn't love you, he wouldn't discipline you. He would just let you go. As parents, we know that, right? As parents, we tell our children, don't cross the street without me being with you, right? And we tell them that not because we hate them, not because we don't want them crossing the street. We tell them that because we don't want them getting run over by a car. We love them. And we tell them the rules so that they won't hurt themselves. And do you know that God's word is full of rules and precepts and declarations that you and I are supposed to be obedient to because God hates us? No. God loves us. He gives us the rules to follow so that we won't hurt ourselves. We won't hurt ourselves. That's why they're all in there. And so God loves us immensely. He has given us a set of rules to follow so that we don't get in trouble in life, so that we don't hurt ourselves or we don't hurt other people. If we could just follow two of the rules in God's word, we would be doing great. Amen? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You would do great. You would get through life awesomely, we could just do them two things. The Israelites found themselves in captivity because of the sins of idolatry. They took the glory of God and they replaced it with gods of this world. They replaced it with the God of sensuality. They replaced God with the God of materialism. They replaced God with the God of wealth and popularity. They replaced God with the God of vanity and pride. Oh my. Oh me. Uh-oh. God did not leave the Israelites. They left God. They removed all the places where people worship God and they replaced them with deities that are of sexual pleasures and fertility and of worldly power. And they took God out of their government, and they took God out of their schools, and they forsook the precepts of God's word, and they did as they pleased. Ouch. They reasoned and justified all of this heresy by human reason and political correctness. Ouch. Because of the sins of the people and the nations, God let them go their own way. He just took his hand off of them. And he says, okay, you want to live without me? Go ahead. And they did. And guess what? They're in captivity in Babylon. And they're crying out to God. First of all, just like the Israelites in America, we are much like they were. Amen? We are much in the same condition. We're going down the same road they went. Over and over, you read the Bible, they did the same thing over and over. Is that not called something? To do the same thing over and over with the same result? Insanity. Insanity. They practiced insanity throughout all of the Bible. You read it, they got right with God. God blessed them. They had prosperity. Prosperity is one of the worst enemies of God. Because when people prosper, they say, I don't need God anymore. I'm going to go do this my own way. I've got everything I need. I don't need God anymore. I'm going to live my life without Him. And prosperity caused them to go into sin and bring up other gods and do other things that was against God and take God out of their life. And when they did that, they went into captivity. They went into circumstances that they couldn't fix, that they didn't like. And they lived there for a while. And then they cried out to God. They repented. They got right with God. And God delivered them. And He set them on the solid rock. And He blessed them. And they had prosperity. And they did the same stupid thing again. And we laugh at that, but we do the same thing. Don't you know? If we just graph our spirituality, we could say on the mountaintop experiences, our spirituality might be at a low, but in them deep valleys, our spirituality might just be at a super high because we need God so much. And our life is just like that, right? It just wavers like that. It vacillates. If we would just keep on a steady keel that we need God every day, every day. It don't matter if we're on the mountaintop or we're in the valley. We need God the same amount. Many people are asking these questions today in the midst of this global pandemic. Is this the judgment of God upon our world? And if God is loving and a gracious God, why is He allowing this to happen? Well, first of all, just like the Israelites, God never left us. We left God. God is still here. God is still where He always was. He's still calling out to you and me. He's still calling out to a lost and dying world. He's still saying, look at the cross. Look at my Son. Look at how much I love you. And He's calling people to repentance, and He's calling them to get right with Him, and He wants to bless you. He wants to prosper you. He wants you to live in the promised land. So the answer to the question, where is God in this pandemic, is He's right here. He never went anywhere. The answer to that question, where is God, is you left God. He didn't leave you. He's still there. Call out to Him. He's waiting for you to call His name. God never pulled out of our presence. We just refuse to acknowledge that He's still there. You are here working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are a way maker, a miracle worker, a promise keeper. You're the light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. That is who you are. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. You never stop working. God, that is who you are. The answer to the second question is, if God is a loving and gracious God, why is He allowing this to happen? He's allowing this to happen because He loves you. Not because He hates you. Not because He wants to see you suffer. He wants to see you blessed. He wants to see you turn He wants to see you call out to Him. He wants to see you rely on Him. He wants to bless you. And so He allows things to happen. Do you think God don't know this pandemic's happening? Absolutely, He knows it's happening. And God is in the middle of it. He's watching it, and He's waiting for people to call out to Him. I think about this, and I think about the Bible, and I think about a place in the Bible where God was calling, asking people to call out to Him, and He's getting ready to destroy two cities called Sodom and Gomorrah. And He's going to destroy these two cities, and He says, and Lot says to Him, he says, "Oh God, please don't destroy these two cities. I can get 50 people that will say they love You. Would You save the cities for 50 people?" And He says, God says, "Absolutely, I'd save the city for 50 people." And Lot went and looked. He couldn't find 50. So he comes back to God. He goes, "God, would You save it for 40? Just 40 people? Would You?" God says, "I'd save it for 40. And Lot went and looked. He couldn't find 40 people. And he kept going back and forth to God. And he gets down to 10 people. And he says, "Would You save it for 10 people?" God says, "I'd save it for 10 people." And he gets down to one person. Lot says, "Would You save it for one person?" God says, "I'd save Your city for one person that would repent." One person. I believe God would save America for one person that would be willing to say in their heart, "God, I'm sorry. I have sinned against You and only You. And Lord, I want You to forgive me. I want to ask Jesus to come into my heart and live within me. And I want You to take me to heaven someday. I want Him to be Lord of my life." I believe God would save our country for one person. And sometimes we see all kinds of things going on around us. We see things like this pandemic. And really what God is just wanting is for some people to come to know Him as Lord and Savior. The pandemic is not the hand of God. It's the hand of man. We brought this upon ourselves. Think about it for a minute. Where did it come from? It come from some bad in some laboratory that man was experimenting with, right? And then it passed into some other animal that passed into a human. And if it hadn't been in a laboratory and hadn't been altered by man and messed with, it probably would have never got to a human. But so many times we orchestrate our own circumstances, amen? We get ourselves in our own fit. My mom used to say, "You made your bed, now you got to lay in it." Amen. We do that a lot. We're no different than they were. We act the same way. God is in control. Absolutely, He's in control. But God is using everything that comes upon us, everything that's in our lives, to send us a loving message. He says, "Turn away from your sins and put Me back in your schools. Put Me back in your high places. Honor Me in your land. Get right and live right, and I'll bless you and I'll heal your land." That's what God's saying in all this. God is calling out. And if we just stopped and listened, we could hear God calling out. "I'm here. Are you going to repent? Are you going to get right? Are you going to start living right? Are you just going to keep living like the world? I'm here. I'm here. I'm wanting to bless you. I'm wanting to prosper you. I'm wanting to put you in the promised land, but you won't change. Won't you change? Won't you act like I'm showing you to act in My word?" So what was the condition of the people in the valley? They were bones of dead people. We are living in a time where God's people are dead and the world around us is dead because we've turned our back on God. And you may say, "Well, I didn't turn my back on God." But when abortion come and it's come time to vote, you didn't vote against it. Whenever they started doing things that you said, "Well, them aren't godly things," you kept quiet. You didn't say anything. You didn't do anything. You didn't stand up. God should be sending us an Ezekiel. And God should send us a prophet to tell us to turn or He'll destroy our land. They were very dry. I like that part, that they weren't just bones in that valley. They were very dry bones. You know, the worst of all possible scenarios in order to make life happen again. The bones were almost to the point of dust. It almost fell apart. He couldn't hardly recognize him as bones anymore. Pretty far gone, amen? But God is able. Amen. All things are possible with God, right? And Ezekiel said the right words. He says, only you know, sovereign Lord. Only you know if these bones can live. So God asks that question to Ezekiel. He says, can these bones live? In Ezekiel's eyes, there's no way these bones could come back to life. But Ezekiel knows the awesome power of Almighty God. All through Ezekiel's lifetime, he had read the stories of the Old Testament of Almighty God on display. And he lived in a society much like ours. He had faith. He'd read all the stories of the Old Testament. And he knew God was able. And God told Ezekiel, he said, you speak to these bones. And here is what God told Ezekiel to say to these bones in that valley that day. He says, hear the word of the Lord. God will breathe his spirit into you. You will come to life. He will restore you with tendons and flesh and skin. And you will know that he is God. So Ezekiel prophesied to them bones, and they rattled, and the tendons and flesh appeared in the skin so that they were human bodies again. But note, they still had no life. Because they had no spirit of God. And until he prophesied that the spirit of God would come into them, they were just walking dead people. Now, I know the kids today, they talk a lot about zombies, right? And there's movies like The Night of the Living Dead, and I don't know all them, where they walk around like this, they're dead people. They're all around us, spiritually speaking, amen? There's a lot of dead people around us walking. And they just need to know Jesus and have Jesus' spirit in them and they would have life. God told Ezekiel to prophesy, and so he did. And can you imagine yourself in Ezekiel's sandals? Just think about that. Think about Ezekiel standing there at this valley of dry bones. And God says, tell the bones this. And so Ezekiel tells the bones what God says to tell the bones. And all of a sudden the bones start rattling. He's like, what's that? And then he sees sinew coming and tendons coming around the bones. And he's like, whoa. And then he sees flesh coming on the bones. He's like, wow. And then he sees skin coming on. And then he sees this whole army rise up and stand. And he's like, oh, did I just say that? I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine being there? When you get to heaven someday, wouldn't you like to go talk to Ezekiel and say, tell me about that day? That had to be an awesome day. After you speak the words, you hear the rattling and you validate what your ears are telling you, and these bones are moving and the noise is rattling and come together, and you stand in awe of what you see and you cannot believe it. They're not moving, and God speaks to you again. He says, Ezekiel, prophesy again that the breath of God might enter these bodies, that they might live. And Ezekiel prophesies again for the breath of God to enter the bodies, and the people came to life. And you see, there is no life without God. Without God, you're a dead man walking. But with God, you're alive and you have eternal life. Life without God is eternal death, but life with God is eternal life. And God told Ezekiel that these people are the people of Israel. And God is saying that even though the people of Israel are walking and talking and carrying on in life, they're dead people. You see, the people of Israel turned their back on God, and God allowed them to go their own way. And without God's protection, they were captured in Babylon and they became slaves. And was a godless society, and Babylon was a godless society, and the people never repented and they were dead in their sins and trespasses. But God is a loving and gracious God, and he was there in their midst calling out to them through the prophet Ezekiel. And he wanted them to know that he still loved them. He would restore them if they would turn and change their ways. But without God, the bones said, our hope is gone, and we're dried up and cut off. With God, all things are possible. God told Ezekiel that these are my people, Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up out of them. I'm going to bring you back out of the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you. You will live and you will settle in your own land. And then you will know that I am Lord God. Isn't that what we're asking for today? Aren't we calling out to God and saying, God, heal our land. Stop this pandemic. Do something, God. And God says, I'm willing. Are you? Are you willing? In conclusion, and that's the part we've been waiting for, amen. God is saying the same thing to you and I today. He's saying in this pandemic, I am here. I am your God. I can restore you. I've never left you, but you left me. I will bring you out of the sin that separated us, and with my grace, I will restore you and restore your land. All I ask is that you admit the error of your ways and turn to me again. Just like Sodom and Gomorrah, I will save your land for one person that's willing to repent. And so this morning I say this to Calhoun Baptist Church. Is there one person in this church body that's willing to say, I repent, I turn, I ask God to heal our land. I just want to be the first one. I just want to say, I want to repent. I want to get right with God, and I want God to heal this land. And do you know from that one person, revival can break out, and it can start right here in Calhoun Baptist Church. And that revival can spread across our land, and after revival spreads across our land and people repent and turn and get right with God, we could see restoration. We could see our country restored. We could see the things in God in our Constitution put back. We could see Bibles back in our schoolhouse. We could see people telling the word freely. We could see a godly nation rise up again. And that's what God's after. That's what God wants. Let's pray. Father God, send a revival and let it begin in me. Lord, I come before you and I humbly bow. And I say, Father, I've sinned against you. And Lord, I just pray that you would forgive me and make me right with you. And Lord, I want revival in my heart. I want to know you more. I want to follow you closer. I want to be so close, Lord, I hear you whisper. And Lord, if you want me to be the prophet that you send, here am I, send me. Lord, I pray for obedience all over this congregation. Lord, I pray that each one of us in our hearts would pray that same prayer. Lord, I just pray that we would seek repentance, that we would seek holiness and righteousness with you, that you might hear our prayer and that you might begin to heal us. And Lord, that a revival might break out from this place. Not that it would honor us, not that it would honor this place, but Lord, that it would honor you and your word and the promises of your word. And Lord, we just give you all the praise and glory for everything that takes place. And Lord, we believe you. We trust you. We believe your word. You've never been unfaithful. And so, Lord, we just count it as good as it can be because we know you're going to do it according to your word. And Lord, we ask that you would heal our land. And Lord, we don't know what that healing might look like. But we do know one thing, that it will be replacing all the places where we've taken you out of. It will be a movement that's back to you. And it will bring you glory. And Lord, we just want to bring you glory in all that we do. And all these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be singing page 285.
We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Our prayer is that if you are touched by this message, that you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we'd ask you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe you died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in you alone for my salvation, and I accept your free gift of eternal life. If you prayed this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in the local church and share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to email our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing local congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.